Okay, good evening, everybody. It is an absolute zuchus to be here together learning on a Thursday night. I thank everyone for coming, certainly with terrible weather conditions to still come out and get wet. Mesiras Nefesh for dinner, Mesiras Nefesh for Torah, and I very much appreciate everyone coming to learn tonight. It's nice to be back here in this cozy space where Thursday Night Live started until Baruch Hashem, the numbers got to the point where we couldn't fit in here anymore. But it's good to be back. Some early memories of starting out here. Tonight's shiur has been generously sponsored by Aviva and Barry Siegel in loving memory of Aviva's father, Chana Rachmiel Ben Menachem Mendel, Zichrono Levracha. And it's amazing not only that you sponsored, but you came tonight, especially Aviva. Thank you for coming. Our learning tonight should elevate his beautiful neshama, a person who was a family person, who was dedicated to his wife and to his family, who was a mensch first and foremost. And it is not surprising that all of his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren are shomer Torah mitzvos, and the family should continue to flourish and do many mitzvos and zechuyos to elevate his neshama. So I want to learn tonight to discuss and to try to better understand the role of the shamash, which is maybe an underlooked, underrated aspect of Hanukkah. Is the shamash just to facilitate the lighting? Is there something more? Is it more significant? And I'm going to suggest that it is. And I'd like to start just with two or three comments that I saw, which I found somewhat surprising, and I think it starts to paint a picture of the shamash having more significance than maybe, I shouldn't say we, than I previously thought. If you take a look at the packet in the first source, if you remember last year this time, and I remember what the Thursday Night Live shiur was last year, pre-Chanukah. Everyone remembers Chanukah, very good. Haneros Halal. And we discussed last year how already the Rishonim were very busy with the text of Haneros Halal because it had to be, how many words? 36 words. Then that's the number of candles you light on Hanukkah. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 equals 36. And the Rishonim were very busy with trying to figure out what the proper text, because some versions had 37 words, 35 words. So fine, that's what we discussed last year. The Maharil, one of the great Ashkenazi Rishonim, or early Achronim, he quotes over here in source number one, at the end of the first line, he says, V'yesh bo lamed vav tevos, kemenin kol anei rosh l'chanukah. There's 36 words, in Hanei Rosh Halal, like the number of the candles. Levad hashamashim, besides the shamash, because that's another 8. V'im hashamashim hei mem dalad. If you count the shamash also, 8 shamash, hey, Memdal, it's 44. What's the significance of 44? Says the Maharil, v'simanech, there's some kind of hint, allusion, a remez, nechmar, nunches, ner Chanukah, Memdalad, 44, nechmar lamare, as the Pasuk says, it's beautiful to look at, ratzalomar, ner Chanukah, hey, Memdalad, and all them, v'kulam, yihiyu, lamare, ne stavka, all them are to show and are significant for the miracle. And I would ask on this, why is the shamash part of the count? There's a significance to the count. The shamash is what? What is it? Okay, you can't have a candle. You have to light it somehow. You can really use a match, I guess. So why are we counting the shamash as if there's some significance into playing out a simen, a remez, a hint, some mnemonic? It's a shamash. That's point one, which I found to be interesting. The Nitei Gavriel, who's a Rav in Bar Park, Williamsburg, a Chassidish Posek, he has 20-30 Svarim. He quotes a sitter of that Rizal, who says, the 36 candles and the 8 shamash equals 44, which is Kicheshbon on the second source, Dam. Dam is gematria, numerical value of 44. And he says, Vakavana, on the third line, Shazahir Bahem, ye not sell me dam. Someone who's careful with all 44 candles will be saved from blood. It'll appease God's anger and push aside his anger. So 44, the 36 plus 8, 44. Dam, blood, it pushes away blood. And again, why are they 8 for the Shamash? Why does that enter into the counting? It's the Shamash. It's so insignificant, I would have argued. There's an interesting discussion which side of the menorah should the Shamash be on. Now, a lot of the oil menorahs, it's like further back, right, or further forward. But on the candle menorah, they're usually on the side. So which side should the Shamash be on? The right side or the left side?
In the center.
In the menorahs, they're in the center. We're going to talk about that. It's supposed to be a little bit distant. But which side? So he quotes a machlokes, obviously. Some say the right side, and for one of two reasons. Either because that's the candle you last lit, right? We light left, most people light left to right. So if you're on the right side lighting that last candle, so it makes sense that the Shamash is further to the right. You don't have to cross over all the candles to go back to the Shamash. But then he quotes an opinion in source number 3 in the footnote. He says, you know why it should be on the right side? Because what do we know about the right side? Always the more chashuv. Yeah, always the more chashuv thing begins on the right side. So since the Shamash has this tremendous chashivas, this importance, we should have the Shamash on the right side. Others argue the opposite. It's been on the left side because it's so not significant. It's insignificant. It's not chashuv. But I'm going with the first opinion that it's laharos to show its importance, its significance. Why? Again, I think you see from these two things that there's a significance to the Shamash beyond just a throwaway to allow you to light the candle. So what's the purpose of the Shamash? Why do we need anything besides the 8 candles? Why do we light an extra candle? You can't benefit from light. That's, I think, what most of us know. That's the Shamash.
The Shamash enables us to benefit from.
The Shamash enables us. So let's see two Gemaras. The Gemara in source 4, and I have the English underneath. It's a well-known Gemara. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, Ner Chanukah, mitzvah lahanicha al Pesach beisel mibuchutz. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to light it by the courtyard, outside the entrance to the door, outside. We know in Israel, this is what's done. In America, it's rarer to see it done in America. If you drive up north or down North 8th Avenue, you'll see outside of Rabbi Brudney's house, Shlita, he has a Ner Chanukah lit outside, as does his across street neighbor, Moshe Feuer. You could ask them why they do that. But the mitzvah, the real mitzvah is outside. It's more of a persimmonisa to light the candles outside. In Hayadar Ba'aliyah, you live in a building, you live upstairs. So then, Menicha B'chalon, Asmucha L'Rishus Rabim, we leave our menorah, we leave our Ner Chanukah in the window facing the public domain. U'b'shas HaSakana, if it's time of danger, you can't have a light in the window. So menicha al shulchano, you can leave it on your table, the dayo, and that's enough. You don't have to risk your life to put it by the window. Omar Rava says, Rava, tzarech ner acheres. You need another candle. This is referring to if the candle is on your table. So if candles are on your table, again, we're talking about a time where there's no electricity. You need another candle. Why? L'shtamesh l'ora. In order, as Jeff said, in order for you to have benefit from the light, you need to be able to have an extra candle. The ikamadura, if there's some kind of bonfire, if there's other light, then lotsarch, you don't need an extra candle because you're going to be able to benefit from that light. There's no concern that you're going to come to benefit from the Ner Chanukah. The adam chashavu, if you're a prestigious person who apparently won't benefit by the bonfire, not because of halachic reasons, just because it's not appropriate for someone of your stature. So then, afagav v'ikimadura, even though there's this bonfire, tzarech ner acheres, you need another candle. So there's this implication of this Gemara that there's some problem, there's a prohibition to benefit, to do any activity by the Ner Chanukah. You need another candle there so that if you need to do something, you'll be able to benefit from that candle. If there's other light, then you don't need an extra candle. We seem to paskin like this Gemara, even though it's a machlokas. If you turn the page in source number 5, which is a Gemara in Shabbos, you have a machlokas. You have a machlokas. For purposes of time, we'll skip to the third line, the end of the third line. It's in source 5. Amar Rav, Zera says the name of Rav, Psilos Ushmanim, She'amru Chachamim Ein Malikin Behen B'Shabbos. wicks and oils that the Chachamim said you can't use on Shabbos. And the reason you can't use them is because they don't catch well. They go out more easily. It's not a wick that catches onto the fire, or the fire catches onto it. You can still use them on Hanukkah. You can still use those candles on Hanukkah. You can use those oil on Hanukkah. You can use those wicks on Hanukkah. Amar b'yirmiyah then alive my taima. What's the reason? Kasavar kavsa ein zakakla. If the fire goes out, you won't have to relight it. This savar aser l'shtamish lora, and you can't get benefit. So there's no concern on Shabbos. What's going to happen if it doesn't go out? Do you have to relight it? No, and you're not allowed to get benefit from it anyways. So there's no problem. So it seems to be that we paskin, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way, that you can't get any benefit from the light of the candle. So if that's true, we'll see in a minute. That's why we need to have an extra candle there, so that if you come to benefit, you'll benefit from that candle, or it'll serve as a reminder that you don't come and benefit from the Neros Chanukah. Now, why can't you benefit from the light of the candle? Why can't you want to? There's a debate whether a mitzvah activity is mutter, but let's leave that out for a minute. Why can't you want to count your money? You want to read a book? You want to see the new present you got? You want to do a puzzle? Why can't you benefit? Why can't you benefit?
You might, I guess, by mistake, shed it off. I mean, blow the candle. So
once you light the candle, you're good. You're right. You can't put the candle in a place where you know the wind is going to blow it out. But if you light the candle and it was in a safe and secure place, and it should ideally, practically, realistically last. If it goes out, it goes out. We paskin kavsa ein zakakla. If it goes out, you don't have to relight it. So why can't you count your money? Why can't you read a book? According to some, you can't even learn. Why? This is not like kedusha. It's not tefillin.
The whole idea is to show to people the miracle. I guess the
right. And therefore, if you do other things,
you move it, or by mistake you might move it. So if today is the fifth day. And you move it, suddenly somebody sees.
So you're not going to move it. You want to do a puzzle. You want to read a book.
Diminishes its value.
Very good. So there's three opinions I saw in the Rishonim as to why it's forbidden. Rashi says in source number 6, Shehei nikar shehu ner mitzvah. It has to be recognizable that what is this? It's Ner Chanukah. If you're reading a book by the Ner Chanukah, what does it look like? You lit your lamp. Your Shabbos lamp wasn't working, so you lit a candle on the table. Again, this is pre-electricity. And why is that a problem? Because the whole point in Ner Chanukah is pursuing Issa. A person's going to think that you're only lighting the candle because you want to benefit from it. So therefore, it's a problem. Oster l'shtameish l'ora. That's the way Rashi and the Rashba learns as well, in one opinion.
Could that be a reason why people light it outside? Because you would never think to, in the middle of the winter, to sit outside by candle and read a book or do some other activity.
Right, well, again, the real reason is persuminisa, but it's the super persuminisa outside, right? Because no one's going to think that you're doing it for other reasons.
Right.
Yeah.
So either
it's just a hecker, so that it's a sign, it's a reminder, don't go near the candles, not that you're going to read by that one light. Or it's off and off to the side, right? As we're going to see, if it's off and off to the side, then it's recognizable. That's again, our menorahs. It's not so much off to the side, right? Which we're gonna talk about. We're gonna talk about.
Does it make a difference if the
shamash
goes out?
We'll get to that. The Baal Maor has a different interpretation. The Baal Maor, one of the Rishonim in the back of the Gemara, the Baal Maor says, very interesting, that this Chanukah menorah is a zecher to the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash. Unbelievable. Our homes, we're going to develop this in the end, our homes become the Beis HaMikdash. The menorah in our house is the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. The menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, were certainly forbidden in Hana. It's not about pursuing Nisa. It's that this becomes one of the kelim like they are in the Beis HaMikdash, forbidden to have benefit from.
This is 8, 7.
Okay, the idea is we're commemorating the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. The Rashba, the third answer, says, I think this is what Keith was alluding to, that it's not appropriate, it's like a bizayon to the mitzvah. You have a mitzvah item, you shouldn't be doing other things by the mitzvah item. You have a menorah you just lit to do a tremendous mitzvah, you made a bracha on it, and now you're doing a puzzle? That's not appropriate. Says the Rashba, if that's true, if it's a tashmish shel mitzvah, if it's a mitzvah item, then you should be allowed, a mitzvah activity, then it should be allowed. You could be able to learn there. It's not a knock. It's not a disgrace to the mitzvah if you're doing another mitzvah. So those are the three reasons in the Mefarshim as to why there's a prohibition to have benefit. There's a beautiful, deeper explanation of the Bnei Yisachar. The Bnei Yisachar in Source 10, and I want to read some of it inside. It's the top of page 5. It says something very beautiful. He says, Asur l'shtamesh l'ora, the Gemara that we saw, it's forbidden to benefit from the light. L'havin hadavar b'seichel, let's understand the matter with our intellect. Lama tiknu chumra zos b'ner chanaka, chumra yisera m'ner shabbos v'yom tov. Why is there this stringency which is not found by the candles of Shabbos and Yom Tov? A woman, or a man for that matter, lights ner Shabbos, they're allowed to read by it. There's no prohibition. There's no prohibition to benefit from the light by ner Shabbos. So why is there this...
It's part of the mitzvah.
It's, yeah, we're supposed to benefit.
Okay, so good.
We need the light.
So you're right. But why is ner Chanukah different? Why is ner Chanukah different? So he says as follows. Yavon represented Choshech, darkness. What did they want to do, Yavon? What was Yavon's ultimate goal? It was not to kill the Jews. Haman, as I spoke about last night, Purim, Haman, was Lahashmid, Laharog, Abedis, Kol Yehudim. The Yavonim did not want us to die, per se. They wanted, like we say in the beginning of Al Nisim, Kishon Demachlis Yavon Harashal Amcha Yisrael, when Yavon came up, what did they want to do? Lashkicham Torasecha. They wanted to annihilate the Jewish identity, the Jewish spirit. They wanted to be Mevatel Chachma Satorah. They wanted to replace the Chachma, the wisdom of Torah, with Chachma Yavonis, with that culture and that intellect. He says that's why the miracle was done with the menorah. The menorah which is in the Darom. The Gemara says, Harotze Lahachim Yadrim. There's a lot about the Darom and the menorah. The antidote to the Chachma of Yavanis was Torah. That's why the Gemara says that Haragil B'ner, someone who is careful with Ner, maybe near Shabbos, maybe near Chanukah, is a Zoche to Banim who are Tamidei Chachamim, because the candles represented anti-Yavon and represented Chachmas HaTorah. He says if it's about Torah, it's very dangerous to get personal benefit from Torah. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that we shouldn't take the Torah and make it a crown to get glory or to get benefit. It shouldn't become a hammer to dig with. Someone who's nene from Torah, someone who benefits from Torah, is no good. The Torah is not there for our benefit. So he says that's the idea. If the menorah, it's not just another mitzvah, it's the mitzvah that represents Chachmas HaTorah, Kavod HaTorah, so to benefit from that would be inappropriate. Similarly, I'll get to you in 1 second, however. Similarly, others say that the whole idea of Chanukah was the spiritual battle, so the way you combat that is with the spiritual, not with the goof, not with the body. And therefore, we can't benefit from the light. You can't do anything physical by the light, because that's against what Chanukah is all about. That's why the Mefarshim explain there's an obligation of a suda on Purim. Purim, we have a great feast. We wash meat and wine. Chanukah, there's no obligation. We have Chanukah parties, but there's no obligation, formal obligation to have a Suda, because Purim was a threat to our body. So we celebrate with our body. Chanukah was a spiritual threat, so we celebrate or we commemorate with spirituality. So don't do anything physical. Don't benefit from the light, because the light is the miracle, the nace, the celebration should stay in the realm of the spiritual. Avi. I believe so. Yeah. So there you have it. There's a prohibition to benefit from the light. Either because we want to maintain persimonisa, or because it's degrading to the mitzvah, or you're modeling the Beis HaMikdash. There are these deeper reasons. So what do? We have another light. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Source 12. Says the Shulchan Aruch in source 12, Lefi she'asa l'shtamish b'ner Chanukah, since it's forbidden to benefit from their Chanukah, whether it's Shabbos, whether it's the weekday, whether it's Tashmish shel Kedusha, to learn is Aser, everything is Aser, therefore, the end of the second line, the Nogin lahadlik ner nosaf. So what do we do?
Shamash.
No! Well, it depends. I'm going to argue it's not called a Shamash. I'll show you in the tour. We have an extra candle. We have an extra candle. Why? Why do you have an extra candle? As Jeff started with, Kidei, Shemi Shtamish l'ora. If you're going to benefit from the candle, sounds a little bit not like what I was telling you, Russell. Yelo or Hanosaf, any benefit I get will be by that candle. Shehu Oso, Shehu L'Gachron. It's the last one that was lit. It has to be the last one that was lit. Otherwise, it'll be a hefsek between your bracha and the mitzvah. Light an extra candle. That will be the benefit. The Yanichenu Mirachok Ktsas. It should be a little bit further away. Mishar Neros Mitzvah. Have an extra candle. What is that candle? It's not really the shamish. What does the word shamish mean?
Shamish is mishamish.
To serve. So what's it serving?
The candle.
So really the shamish.
Serving us.
The tour on the next page, well, you can look at it now, you can come back to it. He says that we light another candle. We light another candle. The end, take a look at source 13, we'll come back to the Ramah. He says, Neros Chanukah in Lahafsik Behen. Don't pause, don't have a break. The last one should not be the shame Chanukah. If you're going to want to get benefit, you want to read a book, read it by that extra candle. The ain shame shamish alav. That's not called the shamish. What is that? Hashamish hu amadlik bo haneros. The shamish is the candle that you struck the match, you light a candle. You hold that candle because you have to get the fire from your hand to the candle. You're not going to use a match. I mean, yes, you could use a really, really long match. But a small match might not be long enough. It takes a while to light. So that candle you're using, that's the shamish. It's the helper and the assistant and attendant. The extra candle that you have, that's not called the shamish. That's called Shalol Hashem Ner Chanukah. You come up with a name. We'll have a raffle. We'll come up with the best name for that candle. That's just, hey, don't benefit from the candle. It's not called shamish. I always thought that you could call it a shamish because shamish is coming from usher l'hishtamish l'ora. I don't think that's what the word is coming from. But it's interesting. According to the Shulchan Aruch, you take a candle, you light another candle, not as your shamish. You're lighting that candle as your reminder or as your light to benefit from the tour. Says that's not called a shamish.
What do you say? Yeah.
The light that you use, the shamish?
Yeah,
go back to the Shulchan Aruch. Go back to Shulchan Aruch. The last word in the third line, back in source 12 on page 5. The Yanichenu Merachok Ktsas. We're gonna talk a little bit more about how far.
Not the Shamash.
That's not the Shamash. That's your extra candle. What do you do with the Shamash? You blow it out when you're done.
The extra candle.
Merachok Ktsas. Merachok Ktsas.
What do you do today? You light that. Oil. You have a candle.
You light the fifth night of Chanukah. Shabbos, you light your five candles.
Shabbos,
you light your Shamash first.
Shamash first. So and then you go.
Yeah. So I think it should be. It should be last. Now you before the bracha, or after the bracha.
Before the bracha.
Oh, so I've seen some people. Before I've seen some people do that.
Since you cannot take the oil and let the other one.
I make the bracha, I light my regular Hanukkah candles, and I do the shamish last. I have seen some people.
How do you light the candles?
I strike a match, I take a candle, and I light it. I'm holding the candle.
The fifth night,
I'm holding the candle, I make the bracha, and I light the candles. And then when I'm done lighting my five candles, I light my, I'm not calling it a shamish, I light my extra candle, Shalol Hashem Ner Mitzvah. We're gonna come up with something, we're gonna market it, and then I blow out the candle because I'm usually last. I blow out the candle. I've seen some people first before they make a bracha light the shamash.
That's how I do it.
I looked around to see who says which way. I didn't see anyone discuss it. The only thing I saw was this idea of lighting it last. Yeah.
So good,
Aviva. So comes along the Ramah. So bear with me. Comes along the Ramah, Hagah, it's in the third line from the bottom, fourth line. Ubamindinos Elu, Ein noagim lehosif. In our country, says the Ramah, we don't add an extra candle. Rak miniach etzlan hashamish shebehen madlikaneros. You should take the shamish, and when you're done lighting your candles, you'll put it down. That doesn't work with oil because you're not holding the cup of oil. So says the Ramah that v'hu adif tvei, that's better. Why is that better? Why is that a better method? So the Mishnah Berurah explained that's a better method because then it's clear that it's not from your count of candles. If you have an oil menorah, or you have candles for that matter, and it's the fifth night of Hanukkah, and you have your five, and then you're lighting a sixth candle, it can be confusing to people. Why is he lighting six candles? You're not taking a break between your fifth candle and the extra candle. So says the Ramah, it's better not to light an extra candle. Just take your shamash, and you plop it down in your menorah. But again, both of them are holding that you're taking this extra candle and you're having this extra candle there. Do you need to light an extra candle or should you just take the candle that you use to light the rest and put it down? But both opinions hold you have an extra candle there to make sure that you don't benefit from the light. Avi, what's bothering you? How I do it? Yes.
I'll be, I'm right there with
everyone's
you.
Invited Sunday night. You should stay with your family. Come Monday night. No, I have my students Monday. You'll come Tuesday. Tuesday night, everyone's invited over. I take a candle.
Yeah.
Don't use the word shamash. I take a candle from the box. I just take it from my son's hand who lights before me. Now I'm holding a candle. Right? I have my here. It's the second night of Hanukkah. I'm holding a candle. I try to stand all the way over to the left side because if you're standing over here, you have to pass this candle to light this candle. It's a halacha that some people don't know. I'm standing over here. I make my bracha. It's a tremendous amount of kavana, obviously. And I light this candle. Then I light this candle. And then I light the extra cup of oil that's in my menorah. I think mine is further back in the middle. Which is you call it what you want to call it. I'm not what I call it until I prepared this year. I called it the shamash. Yes.
And do you specifically use the candle?
What do you do? You first, like Moish.
Right, and then I use.
Why do you light the shamash first? Why do you light the shamash first? No, it's not. No, it's not. You're using that oil cup to light the other candles. No way. You'll have to burn your house down. Chas v'shalom. What do you light first? What do you you're holding a candle? What do you do?
I'm lighting candles.
What do you do with that candle that you're holding? You take a match.
I light the shamash.
Yeah, and you're holding it.
Right.
Yeah.
I light the second candle.
Yeah.
The first candle, and then I put the shamash in the holder.
Okay, so you're doing what the Ramah says.
That's why I understand what the Ramah okay. does.
Okay. I don't because my why did I do it this way? That's just what I've always done. My oil menorah has a spot for an extra cup of oil.
Right?
There's eight across, right? And there's one that's further back
right.
in the middle. I think all oil menorahs have that, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Just about.
The side behind. So I light that, which is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, really not like the Ramah. Why? Okay, now that I prepared this year, should I continue to do that way when the Ramah says not the way? That is a good question, Avi.
I would go like Avi and Moshe myself because during the time when you're lighting your, let's say, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, you could somehow benefit from. So if you don't have that extra candle lit, perhaps you're benefiting during that time. So
interesting.
That's
good. Okay, so Avi, so okay. Now I'll be honest with you. The reason I've done it this way always is because that's just the way my menorah is constructed. So my menorah has an extra branch with a spot for the what we call the shamash until.
Every menorah has an extra spot for the shamash.
So yours is just a spot for the candle, not for the oil.
Using oil.
What do you do?
I use those pre-made oils.
Good. So it's the second night of Hanukkah. You have two over here.
Right.
You have your candle that you're holding. We'll call it the shamash, right?
So you.
What's that? You're holding the shamash. What do you do? You light the second candle. You light the first candle. Now what do you do? You light an extra oil cup.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Is that what you do?
I don't know.
You'll tell us. You'll tell us right now. It's interesting. Let's just let's the. extend this for a minute. Today, you have electricity. So do you need a shamash at all? No. Let me rephrase the question. Do you need an extra candle?
No.
Do you need an extra candle?
No.
So it comes along, the Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, you don't need it. If the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara we saw says that there's a Madura, if there's a bonfire and you're going to be able to benefit from the bonfire, you don't need an extra candle. So says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, electricity today is just a little bit better, than a bonfire. So just a little bit better, safer and better. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, if that's the case, you don't need an extra candle. Now you need a candle, what we call the Shabbos, because you need to light the candles to get the fire from the match to the thing. But says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, you don't need. He says it's a good idea. Why? Because sometimes electricity goes out. And if the electricity goes out, so then you're stuck. But he says, fundamentally, you don't need it. Comes along, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, at the top of page 7, and I think this is our third area where you see that the Shamash has extra significance. He says, in Neros HaChashmal Dolkos, if electricity is lit, Ein Tzarech LaHadlik Shamash. You don't need to light a Shamash. Aval Nogin Olam LaHadlik Shamash. But the world of Minog Olam is the light one. Gam kishineros hachashmal dokos, even when the electricity is on. Why? Is it like Rosh Shlomo Zalman? Because maybe the electricity will go out. I mean, how often does electricity go out? Very rarely. Very rarely. Every couple years?
We turn off the lights in order to enhance the candle.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So for you, a shamash is very important. And Shamash is very important. You have to be very careful. You have to be careful that you don't lean, tilt your cart over to read Mao's Sur by the candles. You have to be extra careful. But says Shmuel Kamenetsky, the minog is still to have a Shamash. There's no, it's funny. The whole purpose is just Shalol Shamash Lora. You're not going to be Mishamash Lora because the lights are on. He says the minog is still to do so. I'm going to try to develop in a minute why that should be. Now, it's supposed to be a little bit taller, the Mishnah Berurah says in source number 19. Now in the, he says, Kevan Shehu Gadol Iker Tashmisho Imenu. He says it should be a taller candle because, again, you usually will benefit from light that's closer or that's higher up. So make sure that your shamash, and most of the candle menorahs, it's a little bit higher up. The shamash should be higher up. It should be recognizable what it's for. Based on that, the Kaf HaChaim says that it has to really be different. So he says, the Kaf HaChaim, if you're using an oil menorah, you should use a wax, I'm not going to call shamash, a wax extra candle. Your extra candle should be wax because it has to be recognizable what it's for. But Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky and others say, no, it's enough of a difference that it's further to the side. If it's off to the side, if it's taller, if it's behind, that's enough of a difference. And he says, even if you're using an oil menorah, your extra candle can still be oil. There's an interesting, this is our fourth area where we see there's something really significant about the shamash. Could the shamash be lower down? If it's just to create some kind of separation, maybe it should be lower down. So one of the opinion called the Levushei Sred on the Magen Avraham, he says that the menorah that's done outside is low down. No one uses light that's very low down. So he says it doesn't make sense for the shamash to be so close to the ground. The implication is that if you would have a menorah that was tall, like in a shul or in your house where you have a tall menorah, it's above the ground, it's on a table. So then the implication would be that the shamash could be even lower than the rest of the candles. But comes along in the top of page 8, the Kaf HaChaim quotes this, and he says, Mihu ein haminhag kein, the minhag is not that way. Ela da'afilu bebeis ha'kneses, shemadlikin lamala me'asar tvachim, even in the shul they light above 10 tefachim from the ground, minichin hashamish lemala min haneros, the shamish should always be taller. And that, I think, is a fourth area where you see, back to where we started, something interesting and perhaps significant about the Shamash. Number one, we started with that it's part of the count of 44. It's a Shamash. It's just so you don't benefit from there's nothing significant about it. You're just lighting the candles. So it's a lighter. It's a helper. It's still part of the count. Maybe it should be on the right side because the right side represents chashivas. Even though today, if you have electricity, unlike the seagulls who turn their lights off, I can't do that with kids running around the house. It would be dangerous if the lights were off. So the lights are on. Why do I need a shamash? I really don't. The minhag is still, not Moshe, obviously, not to have shamash. And four, there's this idea of the kaf hachayim, that the shamash should always be higher than the candles, which I would have argued that the opposite. If it's just the shamash, don't put the shamash above the rest of the candles. So what is there a deeper significance to the shamash beyond just shalol shtamish lora? So when I decided to give this shiur, I thought I would have found 10 different ideas. I think this is so neaton. It's just screaming darshan. It's screaming, give me a drasha, a helper, the idea of helping other Jews and Hanukkah. I saw basically almost nothing on a topic. And then I reached out to all my friends who I was convinced were Moshe Tzvi and all other amazing speakers out there. No one had anything for me. No one had anything. And I was like, wow, I should not have picked this topic. I found two explanations. One, very interestingly, is a beautiful book by an old friend, mentor, Rabbi Aaron Goldschneider. Rabbi Goldschneider was the Rebbe in Jacksonville, Florida, for many years. I had gone down and done incredible outreach work. It changed my life, my experiences in Jacksonville, Florida. Then he was in Mount Kisco in New York. Now he's in Israel. So he has written both a Haggadah and a book on Hanukkah, combining the Haggadah is Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rav Cook, and Shlomo Karlbach. Interesting. And he has this book on Hanukkah, which has got some amazing stuff in here. So he quotes an incredible story. There was a young man came to meet the Lubavitcher Rebbe. It's right after your test Kislev, so it's a nice fitting story. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe asked him, what do you do? So he said, I'm a student in university. I'm studying for a master's in education. So the Rebbe said, that's special. I also attended university many years ago. He says, wow, and what did you study, theology? He says, no, I studied electrical engineering, the Rebbe responded with a smile. But I prefer to turn the lights on in people's souls.
Oh, wow.
You see, every human being has a soul, a divine spark that burns inside them. Sometimes a person moves away from the inner light. It might even seem that the light of their soul has been snuffed out. But the soul is like a pilot light. It never goes out completely. All it needs is for someone to fan the embers of love until the spiritual fire burns bright again. Says, that's the idea. That's the idea of the shamash. The shamash, you become a lamplighter. The shamash, not the extra candle. Again, this is the shamash. The shamash is able to light the lights. Without the shamash, it's just oil and a wick, or it's a wax candle. The shamash is the idea of lighting others, lighting that spark in others. Very beautiful. Very beautiful. Then I saw the Kava Yashar, which is unbelievable. It's source 25. And we have 4 minutes to learn this up. He says like this, 36 candles. He says, v'hinei, the first line, mispar ha'neiro shal Chanukah hein lamed vav, v'shmona shamashim, the 8 shamashim, u'minhagon shal Yisrael toruhu. We defend the minhagim. Shaminag liten es ha'shamish ha'malik l'mala me'ha'neiro shal Chanukah. Our minhag is to take the shamash and put it above, higher up. The rem is a dover, there's a hint. This is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, parak vav, pasuk beis. Srafim omdim mima'al lo. The srafim in the Beis HaMikdash, we're standing mima'al lo, above it. So what's mima'al lo? Mima'al of the lamed vav. It's above the lamed vav. This is the Maharil. This is a Ashkenazi halachic opinion from the 1500s. Vim kein lefize. 30, even better. I'm just seeing if you're awake, Mel. Vimke, no, I did not know that. I apologize. Vimke lefiza yesh kedusha gedola. There's more sanctity to the shamash than the rest of the candles. Wow. Gamkein b'neiro shel hashamashim Asher hein yoser ktsas gedolim min aner shel Chanukah. The candles of the shamashim should be a little bit longer also. Why? Why should it be? How could the shamash have more kedusha than the actual candles? Shaner hashamish hu dugmas hakohen shahia madlik neros bebeis hamikdash. Unbelievable. The shamash is the kohen who would light the candles in the base of Mikdash. Right. The dugmas sarfe mala, the heavenly angels, hamadlikin botsinin kadishin, that light the spiritual lamps, sheyairu pnei kisei kvod yisbarach, that lighten up the kisei hakavod. He says, if that's true, it's a terrible thing that people want to play dreidel and play cards, and they play by the shamash, and they mess up with the shamash, and if you skip down a few lines, he says, ve'enim yodim shashamashim heim kedusha yisera yoser miner Chanukah. The shamash has a greater sanctity than the rest of the candles. And I think the idea is as follows. We bring the Kohen into our house. If the Kohen is there, then our house becomes like the Beis HaMikdash. Our house becomes the Beis HaMikdash. Through the Shamish, which represents the Kohen Gadol, we have the ability to turn our house on the Chanukah into a mini Beis HaMikdash. I saw in the Sefer Bar Kinas here of Zilberstein asked a very powerful question. If we want to commemorate the miracle of Ner Chanukah, it should really only be in Shul. Because where was the miracle? The miracle was in the Beis HaMikdash. Our shuls is a Mikdash Shmat. Why do we have a mitzvah? Every single person, that wasn't what happened back then. If every person's Chanukah oil lasted for 8 days, fine. Sarah Mutsky in his house has to light the Chanukah candles. But if the whole idea was in the Beis HaMikdash, there's one menorah, so you have to have it somewhere, let it be in the shul, which is the Mikdash Shmat. So says Rav Zilberstein, you see that kol bayis shel kol Yehudi is bebechinas Beis HaMikdash. Every house of every Jew on Chanukah becomes a Beis HaMikdash. And if that's the Beis HaMikdash and the Shamash becomes the Kohen, we have a Kohen in our homes. The Shamash may be the reason the Shamash has a higher level of sanctity than the rest of the candles. Because if it's the candles, okay, you have the candles. But when you have the Kohen in your house also, then it cements the house, perhaps, as a house of a Beis HaMikdash. And on Chanukah, our home has become a Beis HaMikdash, which I thought was a very beautiful idea. So on the simple level, certainly, we have the Shamash. The Shamash is just what's lighting other candles. We have this Ner Nosaf, the Ner Shalolashay Mitzvah, whatever we're going to call it. That's Shalolash Tamesh Lora, either because we don't want Bizui Mitzvah, it's degrading the Mitzvah, or it's because it's modeling the Beis HaMikdash, which goes very well with that Balam Or, that the candles are Usser in Hana, because they're like the candles of the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe it's just for Persume Nisa, we have the extra insight of the Bnei Yisaskar, that it's about the candles represent the spirituality, the Chachmas, HaTorah, that's what the extra candle is. Maybe you need it today, maybe not. Electricity, maybe we could argue that we don't need it, but it's more than just so you don't benefit. It's that we have this shamash, this kohen gadol. Hopefully, throughout the Yom Tov of Chanukah, we're going to focus more on how we light now, for sure, myself included, and why we light the way we do. But we could turn our homes into a Beis HaMikdash, and then v'liku neros b'chatzos katshecha, we could all be zocha to light up our own lives, and like the Lubavitcher Rebbe told the student, light up other people's lives as well.
One point I want to make.